And he's just looking for a people that will open up and receive from his bounty. Amen? You know, you look at the parables Jesus told, and he said, go out, compel them, even the people that weren't invited originally. Just bring in the lame, the halt, the blind, whoever you can find. Amen? That's us. Amen? The ragtag bunch called the church. The Bible says not many mighty are chosen, but the Lord chose the foolish things. That's you and I. Look at your neighbor and say, hello. He chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Aren't you glad? I'm glad to be a part of God's foolish wisdom. Amen. In the earth. Praise the Lord. Are you in John 10? What a wonderful day. John 10:10. Hallelujah. He is great. He does miracles great.
Amen.
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 You know, when your kids are little, you like to impress them when you're pushing them in the swing at the park. You kind of give your daddy, you kind of go, whoom, you know, and the kids go, ah, right? Because you have greater power than they. They have no ability to swing that high on their own. And God is the same way. He delights to show us his power. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. John 10:10 says this, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, get it straight. The thief is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. One translation says that they might have more than they could ever expect. Another translation, the New Living Translation says, a rich and satisfying life. You know, it's the devil that tries to stir up dissatisfaction. And the marketers, right? The commercials come on and they try to convince us, we need this. Why? So we won't be satisfied until we get that thing, whatever it is, an automobile, a new house, whatever, you know, whatever it is. They try to convince us we are unsatisfied. But you know, in the Lord, there's a place of rest you can come to where you just feel satisfied. You know, isn't it good when you eat a meal and you don't eat too much, but you're not hungry either when you walk away. It's just right, like Goldilocks, right? It's just right. And you eat just the right amount and you just feel, I just feel satisfied. And that's what the Lord wants to give us, amen? And at any stage in life, irregardless of your financial, your portfolio or your annual income, none of that is relevant. You can have a rich and satisfying life and be considered on the poverty scale. It doesn't matter, amen? The Lord came to give us a rich and satisfying life. But you can also be rich financially and still be satisfied too. Isn't that a great combo?
Yeah.
The Message translation says that you might have a life better than you dreamed of. I like that. Better than you dreamed of. Amen. Jesus came to give us a life better than we could have dreamed of. Amen. You know, if I think part of the movie we'll see when we get to heaven is looking back and seeing the wreckage we would have created had we lived life our own way. But when we live life his way, it's rich, it's satisfying, amen, and it doesn't have all the destruction associated with the flesh. Praise the Lord. Well, we talked last week about, in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about faith, and we talked about how God usually gets the blame when things go wrong in our life, even though the reality is they often go wrong because we haven't done our part. You can be assured God will always do his part. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, he's done it. When Jesus said, it is finished at Calvary, he was saying, I've done my part. God's done everything he can do to heal you.
Amen.
God's done everything he can do to save you. God's done everything he can do to prosper you financially. It's finished. It's upon us now to do our part. And what is our part? Faith.
Amen.
Faith. Amen? Well, we talked about how the new covenant, I just touched on this a little bit last week, the new covenant is a covenant of dominion. That if there's one hallmark that stands out, I mean, there are more than one, of course, but in the new covenant, we see a change. Say change.
Change.
There's something that has changed. A guy did a funny skit years ago. It was funny. Rachel turned Terry and I onto it. It was really, really quite humorous how people, they get on that long conveyor belt thing in the airports. And they act like, whoa, I'm shocked. Something's changed, right? But it was quite humorous. She had to be there. Anyways, the new covenant has brought about change. Amen? And the biggest significant change is that dominion has been restored to mankind. Authority has now been given back into the hands of man. Jesus said, behold, I give you authority, right? Did he not? That's a change. This is why when you read the book of Job, you have to understand Job lived before the time of Moses.
Right.
He didn't even live under the old covenant. The old covenant wasn't in place yet.
Right.
So don't compare Job to you. It's different. Something's changed. And it's called the new covenant. And Jesus giving authority back to man. If God allowed the devil in your life, the way we see in the word that he allowed it in Job's life, he would be trampling on the work of the cross.
Amen.
Do you see that?
Yes.
He couldn't.
Yes.
He'd be contradicting the work of his son.
Amen.
If God permitted sickness in your body the way it came on Job, he'd be trampling the work of the cross, because the Bible says by his stripes we were healed.
Amen.
I'm not teaching on Job today, but it's important for you to see there's two different things happening here. Job lived before the old covenant. He certainly lived long before the new covenant. And the new covenant brought about a change.
Amen.
And where God said, I'm giving you back authority. Now, will God allow you to give way to sickness in your body by your choosing? He certainly will.
Yep.
Because he's never taken away free choice.
That's right.
Even under the new covenant. Even though it's a covenant of authority, he still gives man freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And in that freedom of choice, we can do things that open the door to sickness, and it may appear to us, we go, wow, where did that come from? And we automatically tend to think, Job, the devil gave God, God gave the devil permission to bring this in my life. No, he didn't. You did.
That's right.
Because things have changed.
Amen.
We're in a different covenant. We said last week, if you don't take dominion over what's rightfully yours, someone else will. That's the reality of this world. We saw the craziest thing back in 2020. I'd never seen anything like it in this country. Not in my lifetime. People marching in the streets in California, different places, saying, this neighborhood used to belong to my whatever deep ancestor. Now you give it back. And these people are living in these houses going, what? You know, they're barring the doors and saying, what? What are you talking about? And people will try to take from other people things that they think are theirs. When I was in high school, they talked about squatters, you know, in American history, squatters. I didn't know what a squatter was, but I learned that a squatter was these people that, you know, they would make claim to things, right? Squatter's rights, they called it. The devil's a squatter.
Yes.
And he'll squat anywhere in your life, even out of the blue. It'll be unexpected. You think, where did this come from? Because that's just his nature. And that's why you have to defend it. You defend it with the authority Jesus gave you. If you don't take dominion over what's rightfully yours, someone else will.
Right.
Make a note of that if you're taking notes.
Good.
Someone else will. Well, one of the things we talked about that is vital to our faith when we're talking about defending what's rightfully ours and walking in faith, faith for healing, faith for prosperity, faith for whatever the Lord's put in your heart to believe him for, one of those things that can hinder that faith is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness toward man and unforgiveness, believe it or not, toward God. There are a lot of people, Christians included, that have in the back of their mind, in the back of their heart, they have a resentment, a sense of disappointment toward God, their Father, and they allow that unforgiveness to God, toward God, to hinder their faith. So we have to have forgiveness working in us constantly to keep our faith alive. Amen?
Amen.
Let me say this about forgiveness. Those of you that were here last Sunday and the Lord began working in you through the message, forgiveness is not a feeling.
Amen. That's right.
Forgiveness is a choice. Just like faith is a choice. We choose to believe. We choose to forgive. We choose to love. Amen? We don't have to feel love at the time that we choose love. We don't have to feel forgiveness when we choose forgiveness. We just make it a choice. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, people who make choices are people who see great power in their lives.
Right.
People who are in charge of their choices will see great power at work in their life. And in the kingdom, we see that. I mean, you could say that principle outside of the kingdom. You could say a man who's disciplined, you know, a runner, somebody who takes care of their body nutritionally and exercise, etc. They make the right choices. They see great things happen in their life, right? They see a great power at work in themselves. Well, it's the same in the kingdom. People who make choices have great power at work in them. And choices don't often go hand in hand with feelings. Does that make sense to you? So just because you didn't walk away last Sunday and have some fuzzy feeling toward that person you were mad at before or God, all right, doesn't mean you didn't forgive them. You just say, and you remind yourself when you start to feel those feelings again, those resentments come up, you just say, no, I have chosen to forgive. I choose to forgive. Amen. I'm in control here. Praise the Lord. And so we've quoted several times from Isaiah 53 where he said, Lord, who has believed our report? And who has experienced the arm of the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. There's a return in today's church where God is wanting to restore the power of Jesus Christ to the church. Amen. It's a sad indictment that many churches are without power, but we are people that are pursuing power. Amen. Amen. We want to see the power of God at work in our kids, our finances, our home, our families, our health. Amen. In every area, we don't want to be powerless. And Isaiah said the key to it all is believing the report. The key to seeing the arm of the Lord revealed is believing the report, Isaiah 53:1. In other words, the implication there is those who see the arm of the Lord are those who choose to believe. Amen?
Amen.
And what is the report? The report is the completed work of Calvary. You know, when God said to Moses, "I am that I am," he didn't say, "I will be." He said, "I am," because faith is always now. And so when God says, "By my stripes," looking back 2,000 years ago, you were healed.
Yes.
That's in the present tense. That's a "I am" kind of statement. Amen?
Right.
I am healed. And so when you are declaring faith, let's just use the example of healing in your body. You need healing in a certain area. You declare it not like, "I believe the Lord will heal me." That's future tense. That's not faith. That's hope. Hope is always dealing out in the future,
yeah.
Right? But when you say, "I am healed, I was healed by the stripes of Jesus," now you're talking now kind of talk. Now you're talking God kind of lingo. You're talking faith. And faith is always in the now because God is the I am God. Amen? He is the present God. He is the God who heals us. But he heals us when we take faith into account and we declare it the way he declares it. And he declares it done now. Amen?
Yes.
Done now. Faith sees a mountain but says, "Be thou removed." Faith sees a mountain, but says, "Be thou removed." I like the Message translation. It says, "Go jump in a lake." Faith says to the mountain, "Go jump in a lake." And you know, when faith declares that, when faith says, "Be thou removed," faith actually sees it as removed already.
Amen.
It tells the mountain what it sees in here. It sees a level plain. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Faith sees a level plain. And it tells the mountain to line up with what it sees in here. Faith says a full bank account and tells the money to come.
Yeah.
It tells the money to line up with what it sees in here.
Mm-hmm.
All my needs are supplied by his riches and glory by Christ
right.
Jesus. Amen. Faith sees itself supplied and declares lack to move, to go jump in a lake. What you hear alters the way you see. What you hear changes what you see, not only outwardly, but inwardly. When you hear the word, that's what Terry was talking about. When you sit yourself under the word and hear the word and hear the word for your miracle, you hear the word, you all of a sudden, inwardly, you're seeing something that's stronger than what you're seeing outwardly.
That's right. That's it.
That's the miracle of faith. Spiritual ears tuned into faith are blind to outward contradictions. You might want to write that down. It's good. Spiritual ears tuned to faith are blind to outward contradictions. I'm going to say it one more time. Spiritual ears
Amen.
Tuned to the word of faith are blind to outward contradictions. Praise the Lord. They don't see a mountain. They see a level plain. Praise God. Why? Because mountains are not supposed to be there. You and I have places to go.
Yeah.
We got no time for mountains, do we, Judy?
No
time for mountains. That'd be a good t-shirt. No time for mountains. Get, if we said it in Alvin speak, right? Be thou removed. G-I-T-T, get. No time for mountains. Why? We've got places to go. And everything that's a mountain is a hindrance. The Lord quickened this idea in me this week. And I believe it's relevant to our families, our personal lives, and to America. We're in the midst of kind of a shakeup politically, right, in our world. Who knows how it's going to land exactly. It's going to be an exciting year, no doubt. When we get to Christmas, we're going to look back and say, that was an exciting ride, no doubt. But one of the things that I believe we need to apply our faith toward, remember I said at the beginning of 2024 that God wants to grow our faith and us to exercise our faith. That's a theme that we'll stay on track with the whole year, I'm sure. But one of the things that's really challenging to our faith is the idea of reversals, overthrow.
Yeah.
Are you with me? We've seen some changes in our world that aren't great changes, in my opinion. And many times it's natural for us to just accept those changes and go, "Oh, well, that's just life." No, it's not. It's called a mountain. It's called a mountain. And we don't have no time for mountains, right? Remember the t-shirt? We have no time for mountains. And so we must apply our faith to say that can be changed.
Amen.
Anything that is can be changed.
Amen.
God looked at darkness and void and said, let there be light. He changed things.
Mm-hmm.
He reversed course. He did not allow darkness to be the final word. He said, let there be light. Or in the original Hebrew, from what I understand, it's two words, light be. He didn't say a thing about the darkness. Ooh, it's really dark in here. Man, I got a challenge on my hands. No, he just said, light be. Mountain get. Faith lays hold of reversals. Say it with me. Faith lays hold of reversals. When people say it can never be changed, this is it, this is the way it's going to be, faith says otherwise. You know, a few years back, I don't know when it happened or how it happened, but somehow the government in the United States took away our right to a lot of water in our washing machines. Now, I don't normally pay attention to how much water comes up in my wife's washing machine because it's my wife's washing machine. But from what I understand, nowadays it's hard to find a washing machine that'll clean clothes with a lot of water.
Yep.
Who took away that right? How did that happen? Light bulbs have changed. Have you noticed?
Yes.
I kind of like the soft glow of a real light bulb. But from what I understand, it's getting harder and harder to find a real light bulb. Now, LED has its advantages as a technology. It's great. But I want a choice. I don't want someone telling me, you can't have that light bulb over there anymore.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not trying to start a revolution here, mind you. I'm just using these as examples. Things can be reversed.
Yeah, that's right.
And as I was pondering some of those changes that have happened around us in our world today, I started to get frustrated. And inwardly, I started to just think, oh, man, I don't want to accept that as just being, that's the way it's going to be. Because we can see things reversed. Now, I don't honestly care that much about washing machines. My wife does. But I don't, you know, I'm saying, but I'm just using that as an example. We can see things reversed. Because it's silly. There's plenty of water in this world. Let me tell you, that we don't need to conserve water. You know, you could tell when you're struggling with a poverty mindset when you have money in your account and you're afraid to spend it. Listen, keep the flow going.
Yeah.
There's an ebb and tide with money. I'm learning this. I'm not a financial expert, but I'm learning. When God gives money, watch. The next thing is there's going to come a bill due. But praise the Lord, He gave you the supply.
Amen.
Just let it go. Pay the bill. Let it go. Because there's more where that came from. Poverty says, I got to hold on to it. I might run out. No. You'll never run out in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You're not going to run out.
Amen.
Don't take on that mindset. That's poverty talking.
That's right.
Well, we've been talking quite a bit about saying to the mountain. And I want to make a note of this. You don't have to feel anything when you say it. You don't have to see anything different at the time that you say it. You just have to believe it when you say it.
Yes.
Let me say that again. You don't have to feel it when you say it. You don't have to see it, the change, at the time that you say it, but you do have to believe it.
Amen.
And when you believe it, what happens? The power of God is unleashed on your mountain. Amen?
Yes.
I'm telling you, there comes a moment in which your faith connects. Now, I can't explain that because we say and say and say. Remember, we're learning. You got to do three times as much saying as you do believing. Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt on his heart, but shall believe that what he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. You got to do three times the saying as you do the believing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Why? Because our minds are so filled with doubt. Faith hasn't made that connection yet. I'm telling you, when faith makes the connection in here, through your saying over and over, and you're seeing in your mind's eye, in your spirit man's eyes, you're seeing that mountain removed, and you're saying and saying and saying, and you're not feeling any change, you're not seeing any change, but you see it in here. There comes a moment in which faith connects, and all of a sudden the power of God is unleashed. And it may take a month, it may take a year, it may take 10 years. Who cares? I've heard a man mention recently that he had been believing God for something for about 20 years. Who cares if it takes 20 years? When the miracle manifests, it'll seem like it just yesterday that you started putting your faith on it. Amen?
Amen.
Stand the test. Keep saying.
That's right.
Now turn to 1 John chapter 4. Because what does he say? You shall have whatsoever you saith. Amen? Amen. You shall have. Say, I shall have.
I shall have.
Because I will say.
What I say.
Because I will say. 1 John 4:4. Turn there, please. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yes.
1 John 4:4. When we were kids, there was this song, greater is he that is in me. Right? We memorized that verse. The scripture songs are great. They help you memorize the word with no effort at all. It's just music, set to music. Greater is he. Let's read it again. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. When he says that phrase, ye are of God, what he's saying there is you are out from God. You are birthed of God. Are you with me? You are children of God. Amen. When it says ye are of God, that's King James speak for saying you came out of him. When you got born again, you got born of his spirit. You are of him. And it's from that place of new birth that we have overcome. Amen. It's not about anything we achieved. It's just because we got born again. Amen.
Amen.
I know that's sinking in. I'll just say it again slowly. Your new birth is what gave you the overcoming. Amen.
Amen.
It's your new birth.
Amen.
It's not anything on your achievement.
That's right.
How do we overcome? You just get born again. You just get born of God's spirit. And by virtue of being born of him, we are little overcomers. That's why John uses the phrase, they're little children. We are small gods, if you will. We are little gods with a little G, not a big capital God, but we are children after our Father God. Amen.
Amen.
And we have overcome. We've overcome what? Them. Now, in the context, John is talking about Antichrist. He's talking about, if you read earlier in the chapter, he's talking about false people who come forward as setting themselves forth as being the Messiah. In his day, there was all kinds of false Christ popping up. But really, you could say it this way. You've overcome everybody.
Amen.
You have overcome them. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever the them is. Everyone opposed to you, you've overcome them. Your contrary relatives, you've overcome them. Your neighbor with his engines that rev up at midnight when he's supposed to be sleeping, you've overcome them.
Oh, glory.
Your coworker bent on your demise and their self-promotion, you've overcome them.
Yes.
Amen? Why? Because you're born of God. So just smile next time you're in the midst of that situation and say, I've overcome. I've overcome. Why? Because greater is he. Now that part of the scripture, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Who's that talking about? Jesus. I think of when I read that phrase, greater is he, I think of when Jesus was in the wilderness. Now I want to show you something here. When Jesus was in the wilderness and he was tempted for 40 days by the devil, he overcame three areas. The lust of the flesh, right? Which was his hunger.
Yeah.
The first thing that kicked in after 40 days of fasting is what? Hunger. And the flesh was talking to him. The Bible says he was a hungered. That means he was getting real close to being hangry, right? So lust of the flesh was the first thing that tempted Jesus. The lust of the eyes. The devil said, look, he showed him the riches, the wealth of the world in a moment. What was that? The lust of the eyes. He was setting Jesus' eyes on the wealth that could be his if he would worship him. And then the pride of life, you say, when the devil told Jesus, jump off the temple. Right? You know, the temple was like saying, go to Walmart and jump off the roof. There's always somebody at Walmart. In Jesus' day, there was always people at the temple. He would have had a crowd right there, right?
Yeah.
And if he'd have jumped off the temple to show off that his Father would protect him all the way down with angels, what is that? That's the pride of life.
Yeah.
So it was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And Jesus, in our place, overcame all three. You don't read that story of Jesus in the wilderness and just think, oh, wasn't Jesus powerful? He said no to all three of those temptations. No, he did it on your behalf.
Yes, amen.
He did it in your place, and he did it to show you who you are now that you are born of God. Amen?
Amen.
So next time temptation comes and you feel in your flesh, listen, as long as we're in this earthly body, we feel weak when temptation comes around. We just do, right? Pie comes rolling by on the table, you just feel weak in that moment. Because your body wants that.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, you're not weak. As we said earlier, you are graced. You are filled with the might of Jesus. Amen? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life can't touch you as a child of God. Now, they can talk to your flesh, but you, I'm talking about your born-again spirit, the real you,
yeah.
Is an overcomer. Say, I'm an overcomer. Used to have a friend I'd see at the gym almost every day down at the Y when we would hang out at the Y every morning. And he would see me coming. He'd look at me and he'd say, I'm an overcomer. Hey, Scott, good morning. I'm an overcomer. He just had a revelation of I'm an overcomer. And I'm telling you, this verse here, if you just really let this sink in, 1 John 4:4, if they took away our Bibles tomorrow, but you memorized that verse and allowed it to really take hold in your life, you would see great power in your life. Amen? Because you are of God. You are born of Him. You are an overcomer in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now, turn over one chapter to 1 John 5:4. Just flip over one chapter. Almost the same verse location. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God, who's that? You and I, amen? We have overcome the world. Hallelujah. That's shouting time right there. We have overcome. We're not trying to overcome. We have.
Yes, we have.
Why? By virtue of our birth. Amen? You didn't have to achieve to overcome the world. You just had to be born again. Amen? Let's look at it again. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's talking about present tense and future. Amen. We do it now and we'll do it in the future. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our birth is the basis for our overcoming. The world and everything in it has been overcome. Amen. By this promise right here in 1 John 5:4. And our part in securing the victory is what? Faith.
Faith.
It's our faith that overcomes the world. Amen. Man has a part. It's not very exciting to talk about, but you have a part. Amen. Your part is what? To believe. It's faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen. So don't neglect your part. Don't neglect your part. One more verse and then we're going to land this plane. Romans 5:17. Romans 5. I know I'm hungry too, Caleb. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. You don't have to achieve to reign. What do you have to do? Receive. What does it say there? Just look at the scripture again. If by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace. That means God's free gifts. And the gift of righteousness. Amen. That's the greatest gift God gives us, isn't it? Is it not? It's the gift of righteousness that comes from Jesus. They shall what? Reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Listen, there's no other reigning outside of Christ. Someone can be a great athlete. They can be physically, mentally disciplined. But I'm telling you, they could have a failed marriage. Their kids could hate them. Are you with me? Someone can be seem very successful outwardly in certain areas of their life, but you don't have total reigning in life outside of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Man can only go so far on his own. It's by one, and who is it? Jesus Christ. This is the sole way for us to have total reigning in this life. And reigning is what we were designed for. Reigning is what we were designed for. Amen? If you look back at the original design, we're going to talk about more next week. We're going to wrap it up here. But if you look back at the original design in Genesis, what did God say about man? Listen, the original equipment manufacturing design, right, is so important, right? Yeah, you don't design a boat motor to power a car, right? You got to look at what did the manufacturer have in mind when he designed this thing, and let's keep it in its proper use. When God designed man, he designed you to have dominion. Not over other people, over the world.
Amen. That's right.
Yes. And by the world, we could get specific by saying your world.
That's right.
Right? Your home, your neighborhood, where you live, your atmosphere, your sphere of influence is where God gave you dominion.
Yeah. That's right.
And it was stolen when Adam, acquiesced to the devil. And when he gave place to the devil in this world, that authority was stolen. But Jesus came to restore it.
Amen.
Amen. He came to restore it. That's what it's telling us here in Romans 5:17. We were called now by the one man, Jesus Christ, to reign in life. We're going to pick up here next week, but I want to just ask you this morning, where are you not reigning? You don't have to answer that. That's between you and God. Where? What's the place in your life right now, in your world, where you don't have dominion? Could it be your thought life? Is anxiety running amok at times? And you know, people, there's a lot, years ago, they diagnosed a new condition. They called it panic attacks. People have panic attacks. Well, listen, you can choose to panic or you can choose to walk in peace. But if you're giving way to panic, if you're giving way to anxieties, you're not reigning in life. Jesus wants you to reign. There's no condemnation. Don't feel bad about it. That's why you come to church. We got the solution. Amen. Romans 5:17. If you took nothing else home, take that. It's a promise. We can reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So I want you today, as we wrap up, just stand together with me. As we wrap up today, I want you to identify, this is your homework assignment, church. Identify the area this week where you're not reigning. This is between you and God. This is just you. This is you. You go home, write it down, look at it, be honest in the mirror. Be willing to say to yourself, this is the area I need to conquer. Right? Because Jesus has called you to reign in this life. That's one interpretation of that verse. He's called us to reign in life, in this life. Listen, when you get to heaven, you're there. You won't need this there. But God calls us to be victors in this life. Amen? Through Jesus Christ. And he's given us the victory through Jesus Christ. So I want you to go home today. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not a belly button search. You know, you don't have to go deep. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you if you just ask him, right? If you can't figure it out, just say, Lord, I'm entrusting this to you. Show me where I'm not reigning in life. And he'll reveal it to you, all right? And there's no condemnation in it. It's just an identification thing. We want to find our target. And then we want to start applying the word to that target. We want to start speaking to that mountain according to the promises that are here. Amen. We're not just talking about human ability to have what you say. Just say anything at all. No, it's saying in alignment with this word. If God's promised us here, then we can say it here. We're justified. We're legal in saying it outwardly if it's in this book. If the promise is here, we can say it here. Amen. So ask the Holy Spirit. Let's just pray together right now. Lord, in your presence, we're just asking you to identify right now for us, each one of us, where it is in life that you desire for us to reign, that we're not reigning, that we've allowed someone else to come in or some other belief or lie or mental structure that is different than your word for us. And we believe that lie enough that it's causing us to be under oppression, under subjugation in that area of our life. Lord, reveal it to us this week. Show it to us, Holy Spirit, for in your light we see light. And I thank you that you cause us to reign in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, as we just wait on the Lord for a moment, I believe he'll speak to our hearts. We're going to let you go in just a minute. I just want to just give me another moment here and just say, Lord, just pray this from your heart. Say, Lord, show me. Show me. Show me where it is I need to reign. Where it is I have allowed the enemy to come and to gain territory, to gain place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing us, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you're not just going to show us. You're going to give us the strategy. You're going to give us the word to declare to that mountain, to see it removed and cast into the sea of forgetfulness. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Will you take that assignment home with you today? It's not, like I said, it's not an unpleasant search, because when the Lord helps you identify it, then the next question is, Lord, how do I overcome this mountain? Amen. He'll give you a scripture. He'll give you a promise in the book. There's a promise for every need. Amen. There's a promise for every need. There's a word for every mountain. Amen. That you can speak to that thing over and over and over again and let your faith rise. You will see it move. Amen. Praise God, because God's going to cause us to reign in 2024. It doesn't matter who wins the presidency. We know one thing. We're going to sit on the throne of our life. Yeah. In Jesus. Amen. We're going to reign in life by Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great day. And don't forget the youth event tonight. And be blessed this week. We'll see you soon.